What a joy and a privilege to be with you today. I'll tell you, God is doing some exciting things around the world. And if we just will let Him, He'll do exciting things in our life as well. Amen? I want to go to the piano and play a song for you this morning. I always do that because I carry some albums with me and sell those for $15 a piece or three for $35. That kind of pays my gas going down the highway. So that gives me an opportunity to travel. Let me just kind of give you a clue. The last time that I was really home for a year's time, I put 115,000 miles on my automobile, rented two cars, one a month in California, one in New Jersey for a month, and hit 162 churches. So we are constantly busy. But I want to sing this song for you this morning. And it just kind of shares my heart and where I have been. Went through a trial about 7 years ago that God gave me this song. And I know a lot of people say God gave him a song and you want to say, well, give it back. I pray that doesn't happen this morning, but this song was a particular blessing to me because when you're going through a trial, you're either drawn closer to God or farther away from Him. And I found the time in my secret place a great time. There is a place that I can go, find peace of mind and comfort for my soul. It's a place that no one else knows. Yes, it is. I meet someone there and I talk with them. It's a place to share all my troubles and cares. It's a place filled with God's amazing grace. Do you believe that this morning? When you're feeling down, sad and you need someone that you can talk to. Well, just go and find you a secret place all alone. How many knows that's what you need to do? Just kneel down and call on His name, and in a short time you'll never be the same, 'cause Jesus will meet you and He'll comfort your soul. Listen to me now. I want to tell you there is a place that you can find rest for your weary soul. It's a place that you can lay all your burdens down. And He will meet you there, take your burden and care, and He'll help you find sweet peace, 'cause He's the master and He can meet all your needs. When you're feeling down, sad and blue, and you need someone that you can talk to, well, just go and find you a secret place all alone. How many knows that's what you need to do? Just kneel down and call on His name, and in a short time you'll never be the same, 'cause Jesus will meet you and He'll comfort your soul. Jesus will meet you
and He'll comfort your soul.
I want to begin this morning with the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 9, teaches us that we make our plans, but it's God that orders our steps. How many of you know that that's true? Because wherever you are, where God has placed you, it's a reason to bring glory to His name. You're here in this church because God has ordained that. He has made those steps for you. Why? Because there's somebody that will cross your path that you're the only one in the world that can reach them with the gospel message. God knows that. That's why He has His hand upon you and orders your steps. I was a nightclub entertainer for several years before God ministered to me and brought me out of that scene, put me into Bible school, and called me to become a minister of the gospel. Now, I thought it was always going to have to do with music. It didn't. God ordered those steps, and I became a youth pastor, then an evangelist, and then back to a pastor again. And one of the things that happened to me that I really didn't want to happen was God called me to go on the mission field. Now, I'm going to tell you that wasn't an easy thing for me because I never desired that at all. But when a person came to our church, began to share with us the need in Germany, God began to touch my heart. And he shared that less than 2% of the population there had ever known Christ, ever even attended a church. And he asked me to pray about it. So I began to pray. God spoke to my heart. When I related that to my wife, she said, "Well, it's about time." You see, God had called her to go into the mission field at the age of 5 years of age. And after that, she had never shared it with me, but she said she felt like she was Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years waiting for God to prepare me. But what God was doing was preparing a way that we could go into the communist country and plant, like Pastor said, the very first Assembly of God church in communist East Germany since the fall of the wall. Would you give God some praise for that today? Hallelujah. I was sharing in Sunday school class that when we started with a coffee house. Gave free coffee and cake away. And I played a little music so people were kind of drawn into the coffee house situation. The first Sunday, it was just Marilyn and I. We had 100% growth. The next Sunday, we had 4. Praise God. But God continued to bless. I was sharing as well that we had our first convert was a 69-year-old alcoholic. And he wouldn't come to church service right away, but he'd come to the Bible studies. He was curious. And as he would come every Tuesday night, he staggered in drunk. We didn't say you go get cleaned up and then come back. We just continued to love him. And today, he is the pillar of that church in Germany. Hallelujah. That's the delivering power of God's Holy Spirit. And as we continued to work there, we pastored there for 8 years until it was well enough. Let me tell you, the churches in Germany aren't very large. Now, the state church is. They can hold thousands of people, some of them, but they're completely empty today because nobody attends a church of that nature. But the Pentecostal church is growing a little at a time in Germany, beginning to reach the souls of God. And it wasn't easy for us because when we first applied for missions, we took a series of tests. One of them was a language aptitude test. I flunked it. I was 54 years of age. Now, you may think that you can't do something, but listen, God makes a way. In Hebrews 13 and 21 says, He will equip you for what you have need of to do His will. How many of you know that's true? And I preached my first message in Germany after being there only 10 months. I said, Jesus had a 5,000 mention, gefressen, which means Jesus devoured 5,000 people. But you see, that was unique enough to begin to draw people in to hear an American who couldn't speak all that great a German. But they came to listen to the gospel, and many got saved, and we baptized a lot of people. The church is continuing to grow today under the administration of this new German couple, and we give God praise for that. Would you praise Him again? Hallelujah. Well, after giving 8 years, we didn't have any idea what we were going to do. I didn't know if I'd give another 8 years to planting another church. I'll be 67 the 16th of this month. But God's never finished with you. And so we were asked if we would take a military church, U.S. military church, in Kaiserslautern, Germany. That's down in the southwest corner. And so we said yes. The guy that was there was getting ready to retire. They met on base, okay? They could meet in the chapel on base. And the church was doing well. And then under this present administration, they kicked all of the evangelicals off base. If you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can no longer meet in the chapel. And you say, well, they've got chaplains. Don't we need those? Yes, we need them. But let me tell you how generic it is. If you preach to the church in the chapel, it has to be so generic that it reaches not only Protestants and Catholics, but Muslims and Hindus and all of those, Wicca included. And today, Muslims and Wicca and Hindus can meet in the chapel, but we can't. And so, these guys cannot even pray in Jesus' name today. If a homosexual couple comes in and wants to be married, they have to marry them or they're kicked out of the service today. That's where the chaplaincy has degenerated under this administration. I want you to know that God has given us, I believe, what is the greatest and most exciting ministry that we've ever had, ministering to these kids that come into the service. Many of them are not even U.S. citizens, because if you join the service today, you can gain your U.S. citizenry by just being in the military for 3 years. Now, we have a varied church, one that's multinational. But what's more neat than even that is the idea that all of these kids that come into the service have generally never had a father or a mother. They do not know what the love of God is even about. And yet they come to the church because people are inviting them and they're seeing the power of the Holy Spirit. Like one young man that came in, they were kicking him out of the service because his knees were bad. Came down to the altar. They carried him down there. He walked out. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that's moving in that place. But yet, you see, I really feel like I'm doing what James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, that I'm ministering in the sight of God the Father, undefiled in pure religion, which is to minister to widows and orphans. Can you imagine what it would be like to lose your father or your mother downrange for 6 months to a year, depending on whether you're Army or Air Force, and have them gone for that long, being in a hostile environment? Many of these guys come back, their minds are warped because of what they've seen, but God has given me an opportunity to minister to them, because I saw the same things in Vietnam for 15 months, and yet we're seeing God deliver them by the groves. Marriage is saved because they go down there, they have infidelity in their life when they come home. Kids don't know their parents when they come back. And it's so hard to integrate them, but God has placed us in a very strategic area. 55,000 troops in Kaiserslautern. Largest group of Americans outside of America. And I'm going to tell you, I believe God's move in that place is so substantial that there's no telling what kind of results that we're going to see from it. And the only reason we can do that is because of you folks. Now, I want to share, before I share the message that God has given me for the church this morning, I want to share just a little bit about where we are in our ministry today. You see, when you're overseas, you're supported by churches just like this. And I want to say right now, thank you, Pastor, for keeping that support up. We've had many pastors that have dropped us because they've left a church. The church got a new pastor. They didn't know me. They dropped the pledge. We've lost over $2,000 in monthly pledges in the last 8 years. Now, we've only been home for 6 months in the last 8 years. And we're home now until December the 3rd. We have to go back because of the young man that we have there filling in for us. But you say, well, how can you do that if you don't have the funds? We're trusting God. Just like a month ago, we had a service in Bonner Springs, Kansas. And I'd shared that I was $14,000 in the hole when we came home. Where does that money come from? Well, you got to use your credit card. You got to do everything you can to get that money to keep going while you're there. You see, gas is over $10.50 in Germany. We pay a tax for radio. Whether you've got one, if you've got one in your car, you're going to pay the tax. You pay 19% sales tax on everything. It's very expensive to live in Europe. That's the reason a lot of missionaries don't choose that area. We chose it because God called us to go there. But when we find ourselves in that kind of a situation, what do? You come back and you ask people to meet the need. That's why we're here this morning, folks. We need your money desperately. We came home that $14,000 in a hole at Bonner Springs. A man came up to me after the service and said, "How much did you say you were in the hole?" I said, $14,000. He said, "How about if I write you a check for $15,000 to take care of that?" I wanted to kiss him. Yes. Yes. That's the way God does. He speaks to hearts. And we're asking you today. You know, we really don't know what it is to sacrifice for Christ today in America. We've been so blessed that we have no idea what it is to sacrifice. Now, we can sacrifice for our home. Everybody in here probably owns a cell phone. You pay 50 bucks a month for that or somewhere in that area. You've got cable TV. You've got all of these great blessings. But when it comes to giving to missions, do you know that that's the lowest thing that people give in their economy? Is to missions. And yet, isn't this the call of God? Somebody say amen. Why were we founded as Assemblies of God? To support missions around the world, but not just around the world, here as well. Now, we lack about $30,000 in cash to be able to go back for this next 2 years. I'm asking you in a little while to let God speak to your heart and sacrifice a little to help us with this need. But before I do, I want to minister to you as a church today what I see happening in America, what I see going on. And I want to begin with Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. This is the Great Commission. And Jesus is saying to His disciples, He says, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers." Who's that speaking to? It's speaking to you. Not just me as a missionary, but God, when He commanded it at the beginning, He said He has called every one of you to be a missionary. Maybe not overseas, but right here in your own hometown. You see, missions begins in Judea, then at Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the world. But right into Jerusalem, where you live, is what God wants you to be doing. And so, why do we pray? Because when we pray, God's going to speak to you. I prayed about going overseas. God spoke to my heart. And the next thing I knew, I was going. God has you stationed here to reach someone in particular. How many of you know somebody that's lost? Let me see your hand. Now listen to me. I was blessed, Pastor Kent, standing out in the hallway when this guy that had been to Sturgis said he had just led a man to the Lord. Because that's not happening in most of the churches. You see, in America, most of the churches in America are dying. They're not growing. The ones that are growing are the ones that are winning souls for the Lord. The rest of them are dying out. We close as many churches in the Assemblies of God as what have been opened up. Closing them, why? Because they've lost the vision of what it is to win souls for Christ. But when you win souls, you're going to bring people in from the outside, and God is going to do something. Why? Because of Pentecost. And I'm going to skip a scripture here, if you'll bear with me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Every one of you that are Pentecost should know this scripture. What does the Lord say about it? He says that His power will be poured out to do what? To make us say it. Come on, say it. Why do you have the power of the Holy Spirit? To be a witness. Witness! That's why God sends His miracle-working power. You very seldom see a miracle in the church of God today. Why? Because there's no loss there. But when you begin to bring them in, God is going to move in a miraculous way. He always does that. The signs and wonders follow them that believe. This following means to go out and to minister to those that don't know. God wants to touch the lost. How many of you know that? And He does it through signs and wonders and miracles. And yet the church is not seeing it today. They've lost this. Now listen, what is the heart of God? What is the will of God? 2 Peter 3:9, He's not slack concerning His coming, as many would count as slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Do you hear that? Not willing that any should perish. Where's your heart today? Are you willing that people perish? Or are you doing everything that you can within your power to see the lost and dying world saved? God loves every one of them and wants to save them. Where's your heart today? Is it according? Do you have the mind of Christ? That willingness to sacrifice for the love of God for those that are dying in this world? I said I've seen the church dying in America. I really have. You go away as long as I've been, 13 years, you come back, you see a big difference in the church. Very few churches today have Sunday evening services. I don't know whether you do or not, but I've heard a lot of excuses why they don't. But we're just too busy. Churches have closed their Sunday evening services because they can't get people to come. We're just too busy today. That is an excuse, folks. God used to move in these Sunday evening services as an evangelical tool to reach those that didn't know, that wouldn't go to a regular service, but they'll come to a Sunday night service where the power of the Holy Spirit is moving because the lost are being brought in. That was the tool of the Assemblies of God for so many years, and today it's a lost thing. You can't hardly find a Sunday evening service anywhere. I want you to know that what I see happening is biblically based. And I want you, if you've got a pen or a pencil and you want to write these down, I want you to look in your Bible. I want you to study this and let God speak to your heart this morning. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you read verse 1 and 2, it speaks of our gathering together unto Him, or what the church calls the rapture. Now Paul says that a couple of things are going to happen before we're gathered to Him. And number one is that there will be a great falling away, it says. How many of you know that we're in that falling away today? Do you see it? As you turn on the television and you listen to some of these preachers preach, they'll tell you, all you got to do is walk down the front, accept Jesus in your heart, God is love, He'll forgive you for everything, and you don't ever have to do another thing. I'm telling you, that's the biggest lie out of the pits of hell. Because when Jesus came, He came preaching, repent! Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The disciples preached it. Repent. If we're not willing to repent, there is no more remission for sin, the scripture says. Repentance means to turn around from that sin. Now, I want you to know something this morning, that you can't do that in yourself. You can try all that you want to, and you can't live a good life. How many of you have tried to discover that? And you know that you can't do it. You fight a battle with this old nature. It's constantly a battle. And so nature wants to sin. It loves sin. It loves the world. And so you're fighting that battle. You can't do it on your own. The only way that you're going to overcome these urges to sin is through this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ in your life. The more of the Holy Spirit you get in you, the stronger you become. Jesus is the Word, the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1 and 1. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh in verse 14 and dwelt among us. When you read the Bible, you're reading Jesus Christ into your life. And one of the problems that we're going to see in America today is people are going to be deceived, just like this first thing said, behold, the days come when many will fall away. Why? Because they're deceived. They don't know what God's Word has to say. There are people sitting right here today that you've never read the Word of God all the way through. What a shame! It is so easy to do. You can read it through in about 3 months, reading 1 hour a day. And yet many have never read it all the way through. But when you begin to read it and you get the knowledge of God, you overcome through Jesus Christ these temptations and these struggles and trials that will come your way. Don't be deceived. Don't listen to something that's not the Word of God. When a preacher preaches it, you need to line it up. Does it say what this says? And if it doesn't, you reject it. Don't be deceived in these last days. And this is what's getting ready to happen. This is a prophecy from many, many years ago. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. I want you to look at it. Amos prophesied this. He said, in the last days, there's coming a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or of a thirst for water. But look what it says. Of hearing the word of the Lord. Now listen, being in Germany, I know a lot about the history of Germany because I've studied it. I stood right in the very street in Berlin where Hitler took all of the Bibles and the religious paraphernalia and he burned them up there in the street. Why? Because he didn't want the people to know what the Word of God said. Why do you think the church is dead today? Why do you think it doesn't live? Because it doesn't have the Word of God within it. They've left it. They've gotten rid of it. They don't want the people to know. The world doesn't want to hear the Word. Famine in the land. Is it coming to America? I believe it is if we don't see a revival. It's already being taken out of the public school systems. I remember when I was a kid and went to school, I wasn't a Christian then, but the very first thing we did in the morning was pray, and then we read from the Word of God. Did you know that the U.S. Congress actually printed Bibles for our schools? Back then it was a thing that guided our country, our society, everything that we did. Today we're getting rid of it. We can't have it in the court system. We don't want it. But why? Because it convicts a person of their sins. It'll cause you to want to change when the Word of God gets in you. It does a work within your life to clean you up. And so people don't want to hear that. They enjoy sin. They want to do what they want to do. They will not listen to the Word of God. And I believe that famine's coming. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the greater it's going to be. And what are you going to do? Let me just give you a scenario. What if they come one of these days? They're already wanting to confiscate guns. What if they come and confiscate your Bible? How much of it are you going to know? How are you going to be guided by the Spirit? Let me show you this next thing that I believe is getting ready to happen. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says this, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." I've heard this preached all my life, that this is the church. When the church raptures out, the world's just going to go to hell in a handbasket. I don't believe that at all. You see, the church has never caused immorality to be at a low. If that's the case, why is it so high today, immorality, if the church is growing and it's larger than it's ever been? Why are we seeing so much immorality? The only thing that keeps a handle on immorality is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came into this world, John chapter 9 says, to do three things: to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is here in this world. He was poured out on the day of Pentecost in the Old Testament. Only a few felt the power of the Holy Spirit. But today, He is in this world. He was poured out at Pentecost, not just to give you power, not just to bless you, but to minister to the entire world. And He's here doing that. He keeps sin and contains it. But it says one of these days He's going to step aside. What does that mean? Is the Holy Spirit going to leave here? No, because He dwells in the child of God. He lives right here in your heart, doesn't He? He's not going to leave you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. As long as you seek Him, the Holy Spirit is there. But what does it mean then? It means the world is not going to continue to feel that power, that convicting power of sin. They will not fear it or feel it. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24. He said, "In the last days, that iniquity will abound and the love of many will wax cold." Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit has stepped aside. You don't think you're not seeing it right now before your very eyes? He has gradually stepped aside. How else could you see things happen in our generation like we've seen, where a mother takes her children out and murders them? That's not even natural love. Or people shooting each other in the schools or public buildings. Why? Because immorality is abounding. The Holy Spirit is stepping aside. And this world will get so bad, it'll be just like it was in the days before the flood. Now, Jesus said something else that ought to wake us up. He said in the book of Luke, and it's only recorded in the book of Luke, in the 17th chapter, He tells us this. He says that not only will it be as it was in the days of Noah when I come back, but it will be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now let me tell you something, folks. That frightens me. Not that I'm afraid in the Lord, but it frightens me for what I see upon this new generation. They're not aware of it. They're deceived. I believe with all of my heart the reason so many people are being deceived today is because they're following the same pattern that God said when He told Paul to write this in the book of Thessalonians as well. He said that in the end time God will send them strong delusion to believe a lie because they have not the love of the truth. They don't want to know what the truth says. Therefore a strong delusion to believe a lie has come. And that's telling us today that it's natural. It's a part of life. If you're a homosexual, you were born that way. That is a lie right out of the pits of hell. You're not born that way. I'm going to tell you, I'd get in trouble for preaching this in a lot of places because people don't want to hear it today. But it's going to get bad enough. You remember what it was like in Sodom and Gomorrah? You read your Bible and know what that said? It said that when the angels came into Sodom and Gomorrah, the men of the whole city, all the men, wanted to rape them. And they beat down the doors. They were so violent to get to them until the angel struck them with blindness. Is that going to happen in America? The land of the free, the home of the brave? Let me tell you something. When morality dies in America, America dies. We were founded upon godly principles. And those are being taken away gradually, little by little. And the church is asleep. It doesn't see it. You know why it doesn't see it? It doesn't see it because it's like when you get up in the morning and it's dark, you can't see very well. But in a little while, your eyes begin to focus and you can see better. You know what I'm saying? That's where America's at today. Their eyes have grown accustomed to the darkness. And Isaiah prophesied this. He said, in the last days, darkness would cover the earth and gross darkness the people. They're not being able to see the light. We've grown so accustomed to the world. Listen, I came back after 8 years and I heard my kids watching something on television that they were laughing at that 15 years ago they would never have laughed at. But you watch some of the things that are on television today. You a television preacher? Well, let me just share this. Listen, you watch some of those things today and they defile your mind. And we get so accustomed to it, we don't even think it's bad. I had a godly aunt, somebody that really loved the Lord. And she showed me a movie and didn't even hear the curse words in it. Because she had grown so accustomed to hearing those. Listen to what I'm saying this morning, folks. We are finding ourselves as the Laodicean church. And unless we have revival, unless we really have a turnaround, I have to be pessimistic, but I believe we can, and the revival starts in you. How do we do that? Well, first of all, I believe with all of my heart, we've got to be willing, like I said, to sacrifice. Not just for missions, but right here at home. How many of you here this morning, and you don't have to put your hand up, but can you quote John 3:16? Probably most everybody in this congregation can. Why? Because it's such a powerful scripture, isn't it? Jesus came and gave His life for you and I. John 3:16. He sacrificed on the cross for you and I. Oh, that's so important to the church. But yet there are few in the church that can repeat or quote the sequel. 1 John 3:16. How do you really know what the love of God is like? Until you are willing to sacrifice yourself like He did. Hereby perceive we the love of God, that He laid down His life for His brethren or His friends. Here we should be able to do the very same thing. If we're not willing to lay down our lives, the world will perish. And God has placed you in this church to be a witness. I want to give you one quick story. Do I have time? One quick story about witnessing to the power of God and how the Lord will move as you witness. I was pastoring in Fort Worth, Texas. I was there for about 12 years, and I had a guy that I wanted to minister to, and I took a couple of my buddies and took him down to White River, Arkansas to trout fish. And I was witnessing to him all the way down. We got about 12 miles outside the city, and he kept telling me, I don't want to hear this, I don't want to hear this. We got about 12 miles outside the city in my Jeep. I had this old Jeep, it heated up. And I'm talking about that gauge pegged clear over to the right side. It was so hot. Had a mechanic in the car with me. He didn't say a word. I don't know if he was feeble-minded or what was wrong with him, but he didn't say a thing. I took a cup, went down to the ditch, got some water, come back up and started to pour it in that radiator cap. I loosened the cap, and all of a sudden all that hot antifreeze flew out of there. And it drenched my hair. It drenched my body. My clothes were soaked. I found out a couple of months ago when I preached at that church again, he said, well, it got me wet too, and I never told you. But neither one of us had a red mark on our body. And I had a brother-in-law who did the same thing, was in the hospital with third-degree burns for several weeks. It was hot. It drenched me, and not a red mark. And I kept preaching this guy. I thought, surely he can see this. Surely he can see it. And I kept preaching. He says, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Please shut up. Don't tell me anymore. We got down to White River. This is the way God works. We put the boat in the river. And we're going upstream, and all of a sudden they let the water out of the dam, and it's moving so quickly that we had a 35-horsepower motor on that boat. It was just barely creeping up that river. And this young man said, there's big rocks in this river. I better get up on the front of the boat and see we don't hit any and watch for them. As soon as he got up there, bam, we hit one of those rocks and over he went in that water. There's no possible way, it's moving so quickly, that we could have got him back in the boat, but we did. And he turned as blue as he could be and never caught a cold. Didn't have hypothermia, should have had. He didn't. God was ministering by His Spirit because we were preaching to the lost the Word of God. All that night, I kept preaching. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. I kept preaching anyways. It didn't matter whether he wanted to hear it or not. I was going to preach it. The next day, it was evening. We got up to drive back to Fort Worth. And I don't know if any of you have ever been down on those little roads in Arkansas, but they're like this. And we're going through the woods, and it's as dark, pitch black, and all of a sudden the lights went out on that Jeep. God knows how to get your attention. And all of a sudden I hear this voice in the back seat going, oh God. Thought he's going to die. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen an atheist in a foxhole. He said, oh God, I don't know what you're doing, but I am believing in you. Right now, I want you to come into my heart and save me, because this silly preacher is about to kill me. That's the way that the Lord will minister as you go forth. He sends those signs and wonders following you. God wants to reach the lost. And I'm going to tell you, there's only a couple of ways that He can do it. He has to have a willing vessel that when the Holy Spirit says speak, you speak not thinking about what you're going to say, but you just let the Lord fill your mouth with the words, and God will do the leading. We plant seeds, we water seeds, and God is so gracious and precious to give the increase of that. If we'll just do our part, I'm going to tell you, thank God this is a good crowd this morning, but there's still empty seats in here. My heart breaks when I see that. Because somebody's not doing their part. There's somebody that God right now wants you to witness to. How many of you know somebody that's lost? Let me see your hand. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you getting on your knees and praying? Are you doing everything you can to reach that soul? It's so precious to God that it breaks His heart that the church has lost the vision of missions. And it has, folks. I've even got pastors in Kansas that have told me we don't do missions anymore. Why? Because they're not winning people right in their own home. This is so important to God. I want to leave you with one scripture this morning. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? I'm asking you this morning, I need your help financially. I need you to really dig deep and give us some help. $30,000 is a lot to raise between now and the 3rd of December. But if each person will do what God says, that need will be met. But before I ask Pastor to come and do that, I want to speak to your hearts this morning. Would you bow your head and close your eyes just a moment? Just between you and God. You and God. I want to ask you today, how many of you would say your message has touched my heart? And I'm not reading the Bible like I know I should. I'm not committed to that thing like I know I should be. Would you lift your hand and say, pray for me quickly? Yes. Hands going up all over the congregation. Bless your heart for hearing the Word. How many of you would say as well that I've not been witnessing like I know I should? Yes, I see those hands going up. We're going to ask you this morning to make a commitment to the Lord. If I can have the musicians come back and play something softly, please. I want to ask you today to change that situation. God has come to give you power to be witnesses. And I pray that you will listen to His Holy Spirit as He is speaking to you right now to make that commitment. Only you can do it. You get in that Word. I'm going to tell you, if you read the Word every morning, you won't come back into the house that evening saying, "Oh God, why did this happen to me?" We're to pray and read God's Word. Let Him speak. When you pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, "Lead me not into temptation," you won't have to worry about coming back in and say, "Why did I fail you, Lord?" It's because you refused to see the way of escape that God has made for you. And I'm going to ask you this morning to make that new commitment. Now listen to me. You can't lie to God. I don't want you coming down here unless you're truly saying, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a new commitment in my life right now to get into that Bible. I don't want to be deceived. I want to know what the Word of God says, and I'm going to dig. I'm going to study. I'm going to read." If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask every person to stand to your feet right now, please. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat quickly and come and stand right down here. Maybe it was the thing of not witnessing and God's dealing with your heart about witnessing. You need to come. Come right on, right now. Hallelujah. As they're coming, I want to speak to one other issue this morning. You may be here today and you're living in sin. Listen, last church I was at, I was preaching and happened to share the idea about living together with sin. And the pastor said, "You were speaking to some people." They came down to the front. We need to understand, folks, we can't expect God's blessings any longer in our life until we're willing to sacrifice to Him, to give Him our all. Oh, God doesn't want part, He wants it all. Are you willing this morning? That sin that so easily besets you, that sin that you're struggling with today, God can deliver you, help you find that way of escape. But you've got to be willing to come to Him, confess that sin, get it out in the open, get rid of it, don't hide it. So many times in the church we've just said, "Oh, you can pray to Jesus." Let me tell you something. You need somebody to tell that sin to. I don't care who it is, a partner, accountability partner, your pastor, whoever. But you need to get it out in the open so you can deal with it and get it out of your life. As we pray one for another, as we hold you up and make you accountable, we stand in God's presence. I'm going to ask you today, if that's you, to quickly get out of your seat and come. God's dealing with you right now. Please don't hesitate, but you come and let God bring victory to your life. Pastor's going to come. Some of these other folks are going to come. They're going to pray with you right now. If I can get those folks to stand here. Our people that are supposed to come, whoever they are. Maybe some of you are not made the commitment or want to make a commitment this morning. Let's do that first. I want to pray with you about this commitment. Lift your hands toward the Lord right now. Everybody, please. I want you to pray this prayer. "Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you today. I will read the Bible every day. And I will let God speak to me. And I will witness as you open the door. Lord, I'm depending on you to show me the way. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. While you're standing here, if I can get some of these folks that do pray, please, some of you that are finding this sin overcoming, I want you to come right now to some of these folks, to your pastor or some of these people. Please, get out of your seat and come and talk to them about it right now. As they sing, we're going to give you this opportunity. Lord, bless your heart.
Board members and their spouses are here. If we can pray with you about anything, what a solid foundational word we've heard this morning. Our lives need to belong to and bless the purposes of Jesus. If we can pray with you about anything, you come.